listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is time for the lectionary, the daily lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Our guest pastor today, Pastor Lester Stano from Lutheran Church of Our Savior in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. Pastor Stano, welcome to the daily lectionary.
It's an honor to be sharing with you this day. We hope we, as we grow in God's Word, we share and grow together in that Word.
Well, very good. Looking forward to studying in John chapter 16 today. Tell us about your congregation, Pastor Stano, about Lutheran Church of Our Savior in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
Lutheran Church of Our Savior in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware is located in a resort area that has become major full-time area, especially with discount outlet stores, et cetera, et cetera. It still becomes a major area in the summertime from about June to September. And the rest of the year, it does slow down a little bit, but it's a great area. It's right on the ocean. We have a nice beach, and the congregation is located on the main highway. And it's been there for numerous years at this point, and it has growth. But the other thing is, the area has also become a haven for retired individuals. So we also have a lot of retired people in our congregation. They have an outreach to international students who come there every summer to work at the beach. And then they do other ministries to Hispanic, English second language during the year. Plus, they are part of the Rehoboth Beach community in terms of serving the homeless and others during the rest of the year. It's a great area. It has what I like to call a small town flavor in a medium-sized city.
Very good, very good. Well, looking forward to studying God's Word with you in John chapter 16, verses 17 through 33. Pastor, anything you'd like for us to know about this text as we prepare to study today?
Well, I think it's important that we always look at this text in the context, and that's, we need to look at, I always look at that chapter 15 has all of these concepts where Jesus, where we're reminded about the vine and the branches and how the world hates the disciples. And then we get to John 17 where Jesus prays for his disciples and prays for all of us. So I think it's an important text that falls right between those two texts, that if we keep that concept in mind about what Jesus is telling his disciples, the promise of the Holy Spirit, and then his praying for his people in the midst of, he challenges them in this text of the world and what's going to happen in their lives. I if you put that into balance, then I think you get a clear understanding of where this text is going.
All right. John chapter 16, verses 17 through 33. We're studying with Pastor Lester Stano from Lutheran Church of Our Savior in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. Let's take a look at the text, John chapter 16, beginning at verse 17. Some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father." So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves, what I meant by saying, 'A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come, but when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive it, that your joy may be full." All right, so some of his disciples, verse 17, said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will see me. You will not see me, and again, you will, a little while, and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father." certainly seems confusing. Just reading it, I can imagine that the disciples were confused as well.
Now, I think if you paid attention where he talks to them, like I said previously, in the previous chapter, it's just about the vine and the branches and their connection. And then when he talks about the world not hating him and then hating themselves, and then getting into the work of the Holy Spirit, which he talks about coming of the Spirit into their lives, and I'm sure their confusion comes out of the fact that all that stuff sounds to them like, oh, this is really good, everything's fitting in order, etc. But at the same time, he keeps in throwing these little things. I'm not going to be here for a while. You're going to see me for a while, and then you're not going to see me for a while. So we got this. And you use the right word, confusion. I think the disciples are totally at a loss as to what's happening here. What does this all mean in our life? I guess that's a good Lutheran statement from Luther. What does this mean? But in a real sense, I see them when they ask that question, or they're saying to themselves, "What does this mean?" They're really saying, "What does this mean? How will this affect us?"
Hmm. Yeah, Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him. So he said to them, is this what you are asking yourselves? What I meant by saying a little while and you will not see me, and again, a little while and you will see me. And Jesus knew what they were, what they wanted to ask him.
Comfort phrases for me that even before we're ready to ask something, or even before for his disciples, and I believe that same is true for us, even before the word is on our tongues, or even before the thought may be in our minds or whatever, he already knows where we are. He knows the kind of questions we're asking. And I think sometimes we have fear of asking those questions. Maybe, you know, they probably weren't going to ask him, you know, hey, Lord, what are you talking about? What you mean you're going to be here and then you're not going to be here? You know, that to them, when I was growing up, you know, I learned there a long time ago from, I guess, one of my teachers, can't remember when, you know, there are no dumb questions. Well, sometimes I think we're afraid to ask them. And I think the disciples were struggling with it. So even when there are no dumb questions, Jesus already knows what's there.
Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy.
Whew, that's life. And that's the world that we live in, and in the times that we find ourselves in, especially in these in these latter days, not knowing when he's going to return, and that, you know, it's kind of difficult for us. I think it was kind of difficult for them to totally understand what he's really trying to say to them, is that it isn't going to be easy. We are going to have times where we're going to weep and mourn, and we're going to be sorry about the loss of certain things. We're going to experience those losses in our life, or even as a church. I think as difficult as it is for sometimes us to talk about the post-Christian era, I think that's a time for weeping and understanding that we are grieving. We do grieve. When things change in our lives, we grieve. And many times, you know, our grief, nobody else understands. And here he says the world doesn't understand. I don't think the world understands where we are. The world has never understood where we are. And that the world rejoices at that, because they, you know, I've always said, reminding myself of the Peter 5:8 passage, you know, the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I sometimes think he just waits to use things in our lives, and we don't understand them at that point.
Well, one example of that sorrow that you were talking about is here in verse 21. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world.
That is such a beautiful picture, because any one of us men, we have a problem with this, but if we talk to our wives and others, childbirth is not easy. And the time even before then, you know, I think we've all experienced, and maybe as husbands and wives, or husbands and others in the life of the church, or are with our own wives, you know, you're going through that period even before childbirth comes, and that can be really a struggling time. There's so much life change that happens to the woman, and during weather and all the rest of this stuff, you know, probably, I don't know, I don't remember my wife ever saying this, but I know others probably have said this, why am I going through this, you know, until the child is born.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to sometimes keep that in mind for ourselves with this text, with the disciples. They still don't understand what they're going to go through. I think most of us still don't understand what we're going to go through in life, but there will be joy, and that's the rebirth. That's not the rebirth that we always talk about, that we do get, we are born again, but I'm talking about the gift of eternal life that God will give it to us.
So, verse 22, so also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. You will have sorrow. I will see you again. Your hearts will rejoice. No one will take your joy from you.
Yeah, I when I read that text over and over again, I was looking forward to thinking, well, this is before they go through it all. This text is before we have the trauma that they will go through in terms of his own suffering, death, and resurrection. And he is warning them that there's things that will come that they're not going to understand. It's going to be hard. But have fear. I will see you again, and you will rejoice with me. And the joy that we can have is not something that anybody can take with us. It's not a temporal type of joy. It's an eternal joy.
In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name, and ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full.
I read that sentence several times, and I was trying to figure out in the commentaries. I read that sentence several times, and it almost sounded contradictory to me. First, Jesus says, well, you're not going to have to ask me anything because you'll know everything. But then he says, you've not asked for anything in my name. Until now, you've never asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive it, and your joy will be complete. It sounds like, well, first he says you're not really going to ask for anything. And then he says, go ahead and ask for anything because you never asked anything before now. And it was a struggle part of the text for me in that I think Jesus reminds us that there are times in our lives when we don't think we need him. But the promise is that he is there and that he will always hear us. And I don't believe that this means we can pray for a new car. But I do believe that we can pray for wisdom to be the kind of people that he wants to be. And that his promise is true. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. And that comes from the gift that he gives us through his resurrection and the Holy Spirit.
We're studying the Daily Lectionary. Today we're studying with Pastor Stano from Lutheran Church of Our Savior in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. We're in John chapter 16 today. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our study picking up at verse 25. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.